Hello, welcome to Between the Covers. I'm your host, Bethany Grabo. Today's guest is author Julie Israel. Julie is the author of the new novel, Juniper Lemon's Happiness Index, released in May 2017. Julie Israel, welcome to Between the Covers.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Today we're talking about your debut novel, Juniper Lemon's Happiness Index, that has been called a beautifully woven story of grief and friendship and secrets with characters you can't stop thinking about for moments and days and weeks after you close the book. Could you give us a summary of the book?
Yes. So Juniper is about a grieving teen who finds a letter her sister wrote the day she died to someone she had apparently been seeing. And Juniper doesn't know who that is because the letter only says, "Dear you," but she makes it her mission to find out and to deliver the letter to them, kind of as a last favor that she can do for Camilla, her sister. And finding that letter and learning of her sister's secret relationship kind of sets into motion this whole chain of events linked to secrets, Juniper and other people's, and connect Juniper to those people in a way that changes all of their lives.
Definitely. As you mentioned, the main character, Juniper, is grieving her sister who died in a car accident. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to write about such a serious topic?
Well, you know, Juniper as a book, I think, is a bit unusual in that it actually started with the title and kind of everything unfolded from there. The title came to me when I'd been working on something else, actually, and I was just so taken with this phrase, Juniper Lemon's Happiness Index. It raised questions from the beginning, and I think as soon as I started picking at it a little, these layers began unfolding. For example, I knew from the beginning that Juniper wasn't happy, despite the brightness of the title, and when I asked myself, why not? Kind of the first organic answer that came was that she had lost someone. And less than making the book about grief, I think, the natural move for me there was, well, what if she had lost a sister? Because I'm a middle sister myself, and I feel like that really drove it home for me.
Yeah, usually in young adult novels, it's always like they've lost a parent or something like that. So that was a little bit different. And you led me to my next question, which was, you have siblings. What's your relationship with your brother or sister?
It's good. So I'm the middle of three children. I have a younger sister who's 8 years younger and an older sister who's 4 years older. And yeah, we're all pretty close. I would say that, you know, we have sort of different relationships based on just kind of the interests we share, based on our age difference. But some things kind of transcend age difference. Like, for example, we all watch Once Upon a Time and think Hook is hot. So
my sister loves that show, too. Uh-huh. So is Juniper and Camilla's relationship before the accident, is that kind of like your relationship with your sisters, or is it more like what you wish it would be? Because they were pretty close in the book.
Yeah, I feel like I definitely drew from my personal experiences for forming kind of the sisterly antics in this book.
Well, Juniper tends to be more of a pessimist, and her sister Camilla was the optimist of the two. So Juniper creates a happiness index because her sister challenges her to write down the good things that happen each day to help her look on the bright side. So Juniper compromises by writing both the positive and the negative, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Are you more of a Juniper or a Camilla?
I like to think that I can be both, but if I'm honest with myself, I'm probably more of a Juniper. So that was a fun voice to kind of get behind and really take more to the pessimistic side.
I think I'm more of a Juniper, too.
Really?
But I like the idea of writing down things, good things that happen each day to kind of keep yourself looking at the bright side. Mm-hmm. Juniper enrolled in an art class at school at the urging of her sister, and she ends up finding catharsis in art. And you're a self-described author slash artist. How do you find art therapeutic?
Well, I mean, it's really kind of the same way that writing is therapeutic and cathartic. It's just a different means of expression, but it becomes a creative outlet, I think, to either capture something that you've experienced or to try to make sense of something you've experienced, or in the case of fiction writing, something that maybe you haven't but can still explore within the realm of whatever art.
Mm-hmm. If I had one criticism of the book, it would be that the bully, Morgan, is so mean. And I have a hard time thinking about somebody making fun of someone for having a dead sister. Did you ever, dial her back or kind of pile it on? Or what was her role in the story?
Well, let's see. Morgan was someone that Juniper and Camilla had both sort of grown up with, like they rode the same bus, and Morgan was just kind of the kind of person who picks on people, unnecessarily. Maybe she's insecure and feels like she's elevating herself when she puts other people down. So her role, Camilla stood up to her mm-hmm. once in a way that really embarrassed Morgan. And so I think Morgan kind of begrudged that against her. And mm-hmm. even in death, she was looking for a way to lash out that would hurt Juniper.
Yeah, that's true. And she kind of, and that's how Juniper and Cody kind of become close to mm-hmm. another of Juniper's new friends in the book. So mm-hmm. kind of tying them together too, I suppose. Okay. Well, I want to ask, as someone who reads a lot of young adult fiction, what makes a book young adult?
Ooh, that's a great question. Well, one thing that I think kind of unites all young adult literature is that there tends to be a lot of coming of age experiences mm-hmm. and just this sort of becoming more aware of the world and how things are not fair and right. And just other issues. And I think people can really find themselves in these books because those coming of age experiences are really universal mm-hmm. and anyone can relate to them.
I think too, I was reading an article about how it's good for kids to read fiction books because even if they haven't experienced that particular thing by themselves that helps them, if they had, then they would be, comparing how they reacted to how the character reacted. But if they haven't experienced that, helps them kind of see how it would be to experience that. And so maybe that would help them react better or become more empathetic to the characters right. and to other people because they are seeing how these situations affect people. So I think your book does a great job of that, helping people to understand what it would be like to lose a sibling and kind of some of the grieving process and see what people are going through.
Thank you.
Have you had any personal experience with, losing someone? And did that, affect how you wrote the book or wrote the characters?
Yes, but certainly not to the degree that Juniper has. Although I have to say, I noticed as I was writing the book and then also after I finished writing the book, going into it, it seemed as though there were moments where I could feel my experiences and some strong emotions kind of channeling into Juniper's brand of grief. And then after I finished writing the book, I found that Juniper was reaching back and sometimes kind of framed my experience dealing with loss after that and just, became a frame of reference. So there was this weird, mutual influence going on.
So we touched on this earlier, but I want to go back to it a little bit. Your book tackles some thorny topics, like we talked about, death and grief, contemplation of suicide, abuse. And I read an article in School Library Journal recently that talked about trigger warnings for teachers using them when they're teaching a book or when a librarian is recommending a book. And there was an argument against using trigger warnings or at least using that label because it seems like censorship. So what do you think young adults can handle as far as, we say at the library teens are grades 6 through 12. What do you think young adults can handle as far as content or maybe thornier issues?
Well, I think teens are very resilient creatures, but that's speaking broadly and that in reality, you do have to go case by case. And I think maybe having figures such as yourself be kind of the middle person, librarians have a chance to sort of, you know, get a feel for the material, and then maybe if there isn't any kind of content warning, they can kind of prep the reader and at least put that out there so that they have an idea before they get into it.
When you were a teen, did you read books that had stuff in it that...
Yes. I mean, one comes to mind, and we actually read it in school, which was Speak by Laurie Hall Sanderson. And now that I'm thinking back on it, you know, no kind of warning was given. Maybe the summary on the back kind of foreshadows or hints at what the book is going to cover, but there was no warning, and, you know, we read it for class and we discussed it in class and everyone was very mature about it. But at the same time, I feel like when you have a sensitive topic like that, it might be ideal to give people a heads up and give them the option to opt out.
I'm trying to think. This might be a surprise, but I didn't read a whole lot of variety of books when I was a teen just because I didn't have access to a library. And so I'm wondering, as, you know, as myself now, I'll read almost anything. And, you know, there are definitely certain things, given my, you know, life experience, that I might bother me now more than it would have back then. Or I'm just thinking of myself as I was so naive and like so innocent, and I just hadn't experienced much in my life. I'm wondering, you know, if I were to read a book that had something that I didn't know about, that probably would have been good, just so I had some frame of reference for that if I encountered it in the future. So I think it's good to have, or to have all those options now for teens to read about and experience and develop that empathy.
Absolutely.
For those of you just tuning in, we're speaking today with author Julie Israel about her new book, Juniper Lemon's Happiness Index. I want to go back to the book for a minute because I'm just thinking about this as we're talking. So not to give away too much, but Juniper, in looking for something that she's lost, encounters some things that people weren't meant to see, written by her classmates.
That's right.
And so she chooses to reach out to those classmates as a result. And even though someone tells her not to, you know, pry into those people's lives or not to, you know, assume she knows what's best for those people. But I'm just wondering, what are you thinking about that? Because you wrote about it. What are you thinking about?
Well, I would say for Juniper, it was an endeavor of mixed results. On the one hand, kind of getting involved in other people's secrets is enriching for her because she connects with new people and forms new friendships, and actually other people do too. And I think it gives her a sense of purpose, which she kind of is really lacking after her sister's death. But on the other hand, these are other people's secrets that she's trying to fix. And, you know, most secrets are secrets for a reason. And I think when Juniper gets involved, she can't do anything but learn the hard way that sometimes, quote, helping someone may actually just end up hurting them in another way.
Mm-hmm. So the letter is kind of a thing that Juniper finds later after her sister dies. And it's kind of like, she thought she had, you know, all the memories of her sister that she was ever going to have. But then she finds this letter and it's like all of a sudden there's like this new part of her sister that she has yet to explore. So how does that letter kind of connect her to her sister, but also help her with the grieving process?
Well, I think like some of the other secrets that Juniper encounters in this book, finding the letter really gives Juniper a sense of purpose. And even though it hurts that her sister had this whole like side of her life that she didn't share with Juniper and wouldn't even tell her about when Juniper confronted her, even though it stings, I think having the letter and having this tangible goal of delivering it to its intended recipient is powerful for Juniper, and she's kind of leaning on it as a means of closure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the sister's relationship, but I want to talk about the parents' relationship with Juniper. So a common plot device in young adult fiction is the absentee parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so Juniper's dad is trying to reach out to her, but he doesn't really know how. And he's kind of grieving in his own way. And he's trying to encourage Juniper to get involved in school and do different things. But her mom has just kind of checked out. So how does Juniper's parents not really being there for her in the way that she wants or that she needs help her story, I suppose?
Well, it's definitely kind of isolating having, and I think this, you know, based on some of the research I did, I think this happens in familial grieving situations fairly often. But, you know, everyone grieves differently. And when each parent kind of takes it a different way, as in this book where the mom kind of goes to the extreme of being withdrawn and shutting down and not wanting to talk about it, and her dad is kind of on the other side or somewhere in the middle where he does want to be there for her, but he has to balance Juniper's needs against her mom's. So that's a sticky situation. And I think having that kind of divide at home forces Juniper to look elsewhere, mm-hmm. which connects her, well, is one of the connecting forces to some new friends in this book, as well as the love interest. And that they kind of fill in the gaps where her parents ought to be helping her through it.
Yeah. There's a great scene in the book where they're sitting around the dinner table, and it used to be that Camilla would talk to the mom and they would like laugh and joke and get kind of boisterous. And now it's like they're all sitting in silence, and then they have this really stilted conversation where the dad asks Juniper about something. And then as soon as somebody says Camilla's name or something that she liked or something that, you know, kind of reminds the mom, then they like both stop and then they're trying to like redirect the conversation. I thought that was a really good scene for kind of demonstrating how far apart everybody was, mm-hmm. and having a hard time, you know, getting back together, even though they have this common loss.
Thank you.
Well, if you could go back in time and give your high school self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, maybe kind of in keeping in theme with the book, I might tell myself just that everyone is going through some kind of struggle, whether you can see it or not, and that everyone needs kindness, and it's free, so, you know, might as well be a good person even when you can't see somebody struggling. Just be there for them.
What kind of stuff are you reading right now? Do you have time to read when you're...
Yes, and kind of when I'm deep in my own projects, audiobooks are a great resource too. But right now, I'm reading A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith. It's a classic, but it only recently fell onto my radar, and it's really brilliant. But I definitely read a lot of young adult, everything from contemporary stories like Juniper, such as like Before I Fall and We Are Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To more sci-fi, you know, and stories with fantastic elements like Scorpio Races and Ready Player One.
Mm.
I usually have probably two or three books kind of rotating through,
yeah.
whatever I'm working on. I'm surrounded by books reading.
Do you have any particular author that inspired you to start writing, or just has a style that you like that you want to imitate?
Well, this is a really interesting question, because while I feel like growing up and even now, maybe I'm not connected to any one particular author or book to the point where I feel like it's influencing my writing. I mean, I definitely have favorites, but kind of the other part of the question about influences So there's this like internet engine called, I think it's called I Write Like, and it lets you input a selection of prose you've written, and it like analyzes that against a database of other authors and their writing styles. And so one of the first books that I read on the craft was by Stephen King, his aptly named On Writing. And after that, when I came across this little internet engine, actually, I think maybe three times, I've input a different selection each time, and every time it tells me that I write like Stephen King.
Whoa. There's not much bigger compliment than that.
Thanks, internet.
Well, I did want to say that even though this is your debut novel, it didn't read to me like a debut novel. You know, sometimes you read somebody's first book and it's kind of clunky and like, ooh, and then they get better as they go along and their next books are improved. But I felt like this one was very readable and it didn't have any of that clunkiness that you sometimes see in first novels. So I wanted to know, how many books do you have on the shelf that haven't been published? Or
Well, as you may suspect, there is at least one that I probably spent at least as long on as Juniper before just deciding to shelve it. But yeah, earlier books are definitely, and really every book is a learning experience. And I think once you start to get a feel for how stories work and, you know, how beats connect, it becomes easier to tell a story that feels more fluid and less clunky.
So speaking of fluidity, I've heard publishers can be pretty ruthless with their editing. Was there anything that you wrote into the story that you were disappointed that was taken out?
You know, maybe actually the opposite. I feel like my editor did such a stellar job. Kind of what happens in this process is that when you start working with an editor, before you go into your first revision, they'll write you something called the edit letter, which outlines kind of everything that they loved about the book and then everything that still needs work. And my editor did it in a really excellent way, which is kind of pointing out something that wasn't working and then kind of asking me questions to get me thinking about, well, how do I fix that? So, yeah.
You know, I've asked that question a lot of times, and I've never gotten anybody to say, like, oh, my editor took all this stuff out that I... But then I'm listening to the Stephen King book, The Stand, and it's like the extended version, because he was saying when he wrote the first one, it was so long, and the price of a paperback, they said it was too long, so he needed to cut stuff out of it to make it, you know, not too expensive for the going rate of the paperback at the time. And so I thought, well, Stephen King has stuff that he wanted to put back in the book. So I think that's a really interesting, you know, I feel like at first I thought it was kind of a generic question, like you ask everybody, but I think it's been really interesting to hear people's answers.
Well, one really great thing about critique, I think it's really intimidating, especially for new writers, but the thing about critique is that once you realize it's other people helping you find kind of your weaker spots and make the book stronger, it becomes your secret weapon. So I have a hard time really faulting any of the major changes that we made.
Well, I saw on your website that you have a second book was picked up by a publisher. What's the timeline? When are we going to see your next book?
Well, unfortunately, I can't talk too much about that just yet because we're still determining exactly what that book will be. But I can say that it will be kind of in the same vein as Juniper, in the sense that it will be young adult contemporary and have a strong hook. And it's looking like we're going to get to include maybe a slight speculative element, which I'm really excited about.
Interesting. So you said that you like to read sci-fi. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll maybe go that route in the future? I mean, you don't have to give any specifics.
Well, some of my favorite authors span both age groups and genres. And I mean, I don't see any reason why I would close that possibility off. I'm definitely intrigued by sci-fi, and you know, maybe it's in my future.
And I wanted to say one other thing. I appreciate that this is a standalone book, I think, right?
It's mm-hmm, not definitely. Okay.
I feel like all children's books and teen books are series now, and kids and teens seem to really like that, but sometimes I just like a good standalone story where it's start to finish, because I think sometimes in series you tend to get bogged down in the middle because you don't want to get to the ending too quickly. So do you have an opinion either way as far as writing, like a standalone versus a series? Do you think you'd write a series in the future?
I mean, I feel like it's a possibility, but right now I think I'm content to write standalones, and just that, you know, I think while some readers really do get into trilogies and series, that it can also be really refreshing to have something that's self-contained, and because I personally feel that way, that's probably what I'll keep writing, at least for the foreseeable future.
Okay. You have a website at julieisrael.com. Is there any other way that readers can discover more about you and your work?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter too, at @thatjulieisrael. And I recently joined Instagram, so I'm not as up to speed on there, but I really enjoy it. So yeah, just at me, come say hi.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me. Before we wrap things up, is there anything you'd like to tell listeners about your book, Juniper Lemon's Happiness Index?
Yeah. So as we have been kind of approaching the release date, I've been hearing from readers across the board that this is a book that makes people laugh and cry. And as someone who really admires that in books as a reader, I consider that like one of the highest praises imaginable. So I just wanted to tout that. And I hope you will fasten your feel belts and enjoy.
I can attest to that. I've read the book and I can say that it makes you both laugh and cry. Well, Julie Israel, thank you so much for talking with me today on Between the Covers.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on Between the Covers. I'm your host, Bethany Grabo.